everyone's good?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What's the crutches for? I know you're thinking it. So impatient. Man. Praise God. Well, let's pray and believe God for utterance tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We magnify you. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you for utterance and the Holy Ghost. Thank you that what you want said will be said tonight, and what you want done will be done tonight. Father, there's such faithful people in this room whom I am so fond of, whom you love so much, that are just so dedicated and faithful to come out on a cold winter night on a Wednesday. Maybe they worked all day. Maybe they have work to go home to. Maybe they work early in the morning. But Father, they're here. And Lord, putting the word first will always bring blessing. And so we're just so thankful, so grateful for such faithful people. Father, bless them tonight. Lord, we're not here to play church. We're here to get something from you. Now, we've brought our supply. We brought our supply in the Spirit. We brought our financial supply. But Lord, it's also right for us to be fed and to be blessed. And so we're expecting great things tonight from you. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I know we're supposed to be on the Gifts of the Spirit series. But we're interrupted again. And that's okay, because we got lots of Wednesdays left. I mean, there's like a lot left in this lifetime. So we're good. We'll get them done. But I need to obey the Holy Ghost. And the devil needs to get a black eye tonight, and it'll bring blessing to you. It's interesting. We preached last week about having authority over him. I don't think he was too happy about that in my life. But anytime he tries to stir things up, it's just time to rejoice. Better things are ahead. And he's just scared. So I want to share a few things that happened this week. Been a crazy Sunday today, and I mean crazy. You're about to find out. But Sunday after church, I had the privilege to go to lunch with the Mucks and the Walkers and the Maggios. We went over to Perrysburg, and they asked me to go, and it was a blessing. And Caleb was completely normal before we went, and all of a sudden during lunch, he started saying that his stomach hurt, and we were going to the bathroom. While on the way there, I'm just going to use this word for his terms because he loves it. He didn't know this was another word for vomit. He barfed his brains out. Didn't ya? Yeah, his brains came right out with it. It was the craziest thing you ever saw. And so we got him in the bathroom, and all of a sudden it dropped in my heart while I was tending to him and cleaning him up. The Spirit of God said, "What did you preach on today?" And what I preached on last week was the authority of the believer. I thought, my goodness, if there's any time to use this, it's right now. And I'll tell you what, I got mad in that bathroom. I mean, I got mad. And I hugged him and squeezed him tight, puke and all. Gritted my teeth. I said, "Devil, you take your hands off this child. Healing belongs to him in the name of Jesus." Well, we got them all cleaned up. And there's a reason I'm sharing this, because it's part of the message I'll tell you in a little bit. Went back, got him in the car, had his little bag, you know. Don't need the truck getting filled with the puke. But he started singing the songs that we had on the radio and started dancing around with me. And I got him home, and he walked in. He's like, "Hi, Mom." And I almost felt like I needed to put one of the people that I went to lunch with on speaker to tell her, "Your son really puked at the restaurant. It really happened, because he was dancing around, jumping. I'm just praising God." He never had anything wrong after that, did ya? Never. And it was awesome. It was exciting to see God work like that, taking authority and just getting mad. And I thought, man, trespassing on my child, you can get your hands off. So he was completely normal. It was the most bizarre thing. Well, the next morning, Monday morning, I got up, and this is a miracle in itself. I went to the gym. See, the age of miracles has not passed away. They are alive and well in this church. And I went to the gym, and I lifted for a little bit, and got on the treadmill and ran. Came home Monday morning and ate some breakfast, kind of feeling a little bit weak after going to the gym, and ate a good breakfast. Went upstairs, immediately started praying, and in my office. Looking forward to spending the day with the kids that day, because it was Martin Luther King Day, and he was home, and so we had a fun day planned of, we're going to watch The Little Mermaid with some popcorn. He's never seen that before, so that's what we were going to do, and I was looking forward to that. And Under the Sea. I mean, who doesn't like that movie, right? If you don't, you're not a Christian. Or at least you're not a loving human being. My goodness, that's a cute movie. Anyway, so I was looking forward to that, but I wanted to sow into the Spirit, and I got into some things that I don't say trouble me about the future, but things that I know we need to break into, not only for this church, but the Olean church. And I got into the Spirit on those things and broke through to that other side and had such utterance that came forth in the praying that it was breakthrough that I've been waiting for years now. And it happened that day, and it was awesome. And so we spent the rest of the day, the morning, just kind of playing and hanging out. I designated the rest of the day for them. And we were going to watch the movie around 1:30. We popped some of that popcorn in our new popcorn machine. And we watched the movie, and I felt completely normal. And right about their bedtime, 7 or 7:30, I started to notice, man, I have a pain in my hip. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I pushed it a little too hard on the treadmill, you know, maybe didn't warm up enough. And usually if you haven't worked out in a while, you're sore anyway. So I didn't think anything of it. But it got, by the hour, progressively worse. Till about 10:30, 11 o'clock when I went to bed, I couldn't walk. And I hobbled into bed, got into bed, and I turned to her, Courtney, and I said, I think there's something wrong here. And so the next morning I woke up, and I got to bed, and I couldn't walk at all. And I hopped to the bathroom, and the pain was so severe. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly how it happened. I'm not going to exaggerate. I'm going to just share with you what happened. The pain was so bad, I started to black out, and I fell down, and I grabbed the bars that we have some bars in there from the previous homeowners and stopped my fall, and I just began barfing my brains out. The pain was like anything I've ever felt before. I didn't know what in the world was going on. And so I said, we need to go, you know, and so we went down to the urgent care. You get in there a lot quicker than the emergency room. And I went in there, and on the way there, it started happening again in the car. And so I felt bad. The kids were with us, had the windows down, and I'm just profusely sweating. I've never felt pain like this in my life. It was worse when I had the appendicitis. That was more of like a dull constant. This was sharp shooting pain that I've never experienced. And I'm starting to pass out in the car, and I get into the urgent care. They get me sat down, and this will give you an idea, because this happened on Tuesday morning. Today's Wednesday. The pain was so severe it sent me into shock. They took my temperature. It was 95 degrees. Normal body temperature is 98.6. It was 95 degrees. Well, one of the side effects or symptoms of shock is your body temperature goes way down. And they were just stunned. Well, they got some fluids in me, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I'm going out. What I meant by going out is I'm falling over. Because if I wouldn't move, the pain wasn't that bad. But when I would move, the pain would overcome me, and I couldn't take it. I'd never experienced it before. Well, they got me. I was good, back to little normal, as long as I didn't move, and I had to go get on the x-ray machine. Well, the x-ray machine there sits a little high. Well, I'm a little guy. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. And they didn't seem very helpful. I'm not trying to be mean to them, but I don't think they knew what to do either, really. It didn't seem like it. And I had to swing my leg over. I'm not exaggerating. When I did that, I let out a yell like I've never screamed before. And I'm like, I got to lay down. I'm going out again. Well, they got the x-rays on me. And to get off the table, same thing. Screaming at the top of my... I mean, just screaming. And I'm like, thinking, I know I'm not being a baby here. And see, for me to even go to the hospital or the doctor... Courtney knows there's something wrong with me. I mean, it took me almost having to die to do anything about my appendix. Not because I'm a tough guy. I'm just slow to go there, I guess. I don't try to be tough or anything. But anyways, so the pain was so bad. And so I got the x-ray done, and they put me back in the chair. And again, same thing happened. I moved a certain way. Pain shot through me, and I was drenched. She came, and she said, what's wrong? She's like, oh, honey, you are soaking wet. And I'm like, I know. She came back, and she said, you have a fractured hip. Fractured hip. And so I said, well, that's something. I said, no wonder. So they made an appointment for an orthopedic surgeon, which was this morning. Well, they should have sent me to the ER. For some reason, they didn't. They should have sent me by ambulance. And I know that later because something happened at my house I never thought I'd ever see, an ambulance at my house. And I went home, got situated on the couch that I stay on a lot, and... I'm not trying to be crude or anything, just medical, but I had to have Courtney bring the bathroom to me. You know, I couldn't move around. And so I actually got up out of the chair, again, almost passed out, just hanging on, went to the bathroom, sat back down, but I couldn't move from that point. I couldn't scooch myself back in the chair. Every time I'd try, the sweat would start coming, and I'd start to black out. I'm like, I can't move. I'm like, just go downstairs. I got to try to figure this out. Come back up when I yell for you. I sat there for an hour, paralyzed, didn't have a clue what I was going to do, because every time I had any slight movement, now it was throbbing, but every movement I make, that feeling would come over me, and I could start to feel my body just getting clammy. And so she comes, during that hour time, to be completely truthful, I just started weeping. And it was for a few different reasons. One was the pain. I'd never felt like that before. But also, I was so helpless. I couldn't do anything, and it made me start to think about my dad. Because in 2004, he had a stroke. And this was my left hip, and the left side of his body has been not the same. And to put on a sock for him takes 10 minutes, and by the time he's done, he needs to lay down. He's so tired. And I just thought, my God, every day he's had to go through this. And it just did something to me, you know, it just an overwhelming compassion. And so I just wept for an hour. And I'll tell you some other things I did during that. But anyways, I called Courtney back up. I said, I don't know what. I said, we have to call an ambulance. I can't move. I can't get in the car. I can't do anything. I'm paralyzed here. I cannot move without knowing I'm going to pass out. So we called the ambulance. We put the dogs in another room, told the kids to go play with the dogs in the other bedroom. And they came. And I could, you know, the guys, I told them, I said, yeah, I just got back from urgent care and I have a fractured hip. They said, what are you doing home? And they, you know, they weren't too thrilled with them. What? Because I said, they started to get me onto the stretcher. And I mean, I'm just yelling at the top of my lungs. It hurts so bad. Every bit of movement. And I said, you know, a bunch of big guys moving me. I said, be honest with me. Am I being a wuss? They said, no, we don't understand how you're home with a fractured hip. So I went to the ER last night is where I spent my evening. And when I was at the ER, I came in. Nurses couldn't believe it. Why aren't you here before this or whatever? How are you home and everything? And, you know, I wasn't trying to throw anybody under the bus. Didn't say anything more about it. Just said, I don't know. I guess this is what I am here. Here's my x-rays. Here's from earlier. And they got me onto the bed. Man, I just got the IV. I even got the tape still from the IV. I get this stuff off. Anybody have any tips? I get the tape off from the IV. My goodness. And so they're pumping things in me or whatever, and the nurse asked me, what's your occupation? I say, pastor. And she said, oh, you better start doing some praying. So I'm putting whatever on that, you know. Just because you're a pastor doesn't free you from trials and tests. I mean, and I'm not ashamed of going through trials and tests because Jesus went through tests and trials, but he overcame them. But anyways, and so the doctor comes in, tells me, and he starts pressing on my hip. And I wanted to do one of two things, puke and pass out or punch him in the face. I mean, he had to do what he had to do, right? So he goes, takes, you know, a few hours, comes back in. He says, "The what I'm seeing on the x-ray, that's not a fracture, it's calcium deposits." They were convinced that urgent care was a fracture, and they said, it's calcium deposits we're seeing there. And he said, more than likely, with the pain you're going through, you probably tore a tendon or tore a ligament. And they said, which actually can be worse than breaking the bone. The pain can be worse. Oh, wonderful. Thank you for the good news. Never did I thought it would be better to break something. Well, they said, there's really nothing we can do for you here. They did give me some pain medication, mobilized it a little bit, and sent me home, which I was glad to go home. And they said, follow up with the orthopedic surgeon this morning. So I did. But I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, wide awake, and my mind was so conditioned from that pain from earlier, I was very tense, and I'd move real slightly in the bed, but I didn't feel anything. It's like, where's the pain? And I'm pressing. Now, I'm not kidding. If I would have done this yesterday, it made me want to cry. I can press, I can hit it, and I couldn't feel any pain. And I got out of bed and I was walking. I'm like, what in the world? And so I had Reverend Scott already to fill in. Almost canceled my flights to California. And had Reverend Scott to fill in. I woke up and I ended up waking her up. And I said, I'm preaching tonight. I said, I'm preaching tonight. We're going to just go on with this. I'm preaching. I'm going to go to that appointment. And I almost canceled the appointment, but the Spirit of God said, no, go, because the testimony is going to even get better. So anyways, I went to the appointment today. They had the old x-rays from the emergency, well, the urgent care, which sent them over to the emergency room. One person thought it was fracture. One thought it was calcium deposits. They take a new set of x-rays. The orthopedic surgeon comes in. He goes, I don't know how this is, but what was on that other x-ray, it's completely gone now. It's not there. And he said, I don't know how that is. I thought, I do. It was gone. He had the two different x-rays. He's like, I saw what they saw, but what I have now, it's not there. I don't know how that is. And then, so I kind of, I'm a little antagonist sometimes. So I said, Doc, is it normal? I told him the pain that I had. I said, is it normal the pain that I had, because he was pressing on me, trying to find what's going on. I said, it's a little tender there. It feels a little weak. I said, but if you'd have done this yesterday, I'd have been in tears. I said, is this normal? I knew it wasn't, but I said, is this normal from yesterday to today where I'm at? He said, no, it's unusual. I thought, praise God. My goodness, glory to God. One day, going into shock because the pain was so bad, passing out where you can't walk to standing up here preaching the gospel. God is good. But why I said, tell you that, and every once in a while I feel like I'm walking with a little bit of a limp, but I have no pain, and the only thing I can think of is that my mind is so conditioned to be ginger with it, because I'm telling you, I don't have anything at all. Nothing. It doesn't hurt at all. What do you want me to do? Squat thrust, some lunges, what do you want? What do you want to see? The electric slide or something? Or the Macarena? I'll do it, whatever you want. You tell me. I'll get it going for you. No pain! It's amazing. So one of two things happened. Either there was a fracture, and by the time I got to the hospital, it had scarred over whatever and became the calcium deposits. And then the next day they're gone. You know, when Peter spoke to the fig tree, or Jesus spoke to the fig tree, it didn't change immediately. There would have been if you'd had a camera on that tree, you'd have seen the cursing of that overnight till the morning when it was completely cursed. So either that happened, or there never was a fracture, and there was just a tear or whatever, and that healed. I don't know what happened. All I know is I went from 95 degree temperature, passing out, not being able to walk, screaming my brains off, to dancing in front of my church, doing the electric slide. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Praise God. I think if there's any time, I'm always jealous of the people at the weddings because I don't know all the steps to the electric slide. But I'm thinking that if I busted into that right now in the spirit, by the Spirit of God, I'd know how to do it. So we ought to just all get up and do it. Hallelujah. But the reason I'm telling you, and that's what I should be with right now, I'm thinking of putting them in my office on the wall as a testimony. Because it's a miracle of God.
Amen.
But the reason that I'm telling you about the story about him and the story about me is because the devil exposes himself at times and he's so dumb. And what I saw, if you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, this will help you. And it'll help you going forward. Is that during that time with Caleb, and during that time what I was going through, excuse me, the thoughts that came to my head were so real and had such a hint of truth to them that it would have been easy to take a bite out of that hook, line, and sinker. And I want to share with you because this is exposing the devil 101 tonight. Praise God. Because the way that the devil works is the way that the devil's worked all through time. And I learned an even more valuable lesson this week, because you can believe one of two voices. You can believe the voice of God, which is the Word, or you can believe the voice of the devil. And sometimes the voice of the devil can be very almost truth-like and so real that because you're experiencing things that you want to bite onto that and have more faith in that than what God's Word said, because God's Word can actually seem more false because it's actually not lining up with the natural right at the time. What I mean is, when he threw up like that, the thoughts that came into my head immediately were, oh, you know, first of all, him going to be sick for a while. And, you know, that's the thoughts that came into my head. Not that I believe that way, but that's the thoughts that came in. See, you can have thoughts that come into your head that don't originate from you. Don't beat yourself up for every thought that comes into your head. I'm a believer of healing. I don't sit around thinking sick thoughts, but that thought came into my head. And then I thought, oh, man, I'm going to get it. You know, being around it and being in the home, I'm going to get it now. What's that going to look like and everything? And those are all have hints of truth. Usually when people throw up, they have it for a while, and usually if people are around it, they get it too. So that's the shed of truth in that. But see, the Word says, by His stripes, you are healed. That's what the Word says. So I have a choice, believe God's Word or believe what's the devil's throwing in my mind. And then with this whole hip thing, the crazy thing is, I don't know if I've told the church this, when I was younger, would have been either preschool or kindergarten, for a whole year I'd been complaining of hip problems. And my mom would tell the doctors, and they kept saying, he's faking it, he's faking it. This went by for a year, until one morning I stood up out of bed and collapsed to the floor. She rushed me to the hospital, and an orthopedic surgeon happened to be there, and he heard of this, and he said, we need to test him for something. Well, found out I had Perthes disease, which is a degenerative hip disorder. My hip was wasting away inside, and so they needed to hook me up. They took me to Buffalo Children's immediately and hooked me up to a machine. And it was the craziest thing. It was hooked up to this pulley system where 24 hours a day it would slowly pull me down the bed. And I'd have to scooch myself back up to strengthen that hip. And they had different medicines and treatments and things. And when I got out, I had to wear braces on my legs. Forrest Anderson. You're looking at him right here. Forrest Gump had bricks. My dad, where I lived with, you know, on the weekends. Careful, buddy. Quiet. And the way I lived with my dad on the weekends. My grandma, he lived at my grandma's house, took care of her, had pictures all over the walls of when we were kids and stuff. And one of the pictures was me with a He-Man sword and a cape, I think, and then like a He-Man shirt. But I had my braces on. And it was one of the first times Courtney was ever over there. And she looked at that picture and she said, that is an awesome costume. I love that, those things you have on your legs. She had no idea. Like one of the first times she was ever there, I said, yeah, well, those braces on my legs. And oh, she felt so bad, you know, just, she thought it was the neatest costume, but I'm thinking, no, that's, I just wasn't right. And, but anyways, so, that went away with the crutches and the braces. Never had a problem, played sports all my life. I was a pretty fast runner. In fact, my nickname on the baseball team was Wheels. That's pretty good. And, that's pretty good for someone with a degenerative hip disease that was told possibly wouldn't walk. I mean, it was a miracle that they even found out about it, because it was a rare thing back then, and the doctor happened to be there. Well, that was God putting things into place. I truly believe that. Amen. So they've told me my whole life, medically, that when I get to be about 30 years old, because of that, I am guaranteed to have arthritis all through my body. Well, I've never had it.
Praise God.
Never had a bit of it. And so when I have hip problems, you can imagine the thoughts that are ripping through my head that, oh, it's manifesting now. Because how does a 37-year-old fracture or break his hip running on a treadmill unless the hip is already damaged or really weak, because it's really abnormal for a younger person to do that. It's usually older people that happens to. And so I'm thinking that. I'm thinking of, you know, because I've been in nursing homes. I've preached in them, been there with my dad. I've seen younger people have to go in because they have a condition where it makes them immobile at home and they have to go in. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what about the church? And all these thoughts are going ripping through my head like crazy. I'm thinking about, am I not going to be able to play with my kids anymore? Are things going to change? I mean, Caleb even asked, is daddy going to still be able to live with us? Is daddy going to be able to play with us anymore? I mean, and all these things are just compounding in my mind. Well, all those thoughts have a shred of truth to them. They do. But the Word says, the Word says, by His stripes you are healed.
Amen.
And then I started thinking about California. This trip, I look forward to these trips. They're refreshing to me. I get something for the church, get something. And I'm like, this can't be right, because back in January when I went, before those meetings were even over, I booked my trip for June because the Spirit of God told me, you need to be here. Back in June, I booked my trip for January right when the meeting was going on. I remember the night service, walking out in the nice night of in California, sitting in my vehicle, getting right up on my iPad and booking my flights right away, because I knew I was supposed to be back here in January. So I thought, well, this ain't right to have to cancel. But I'm like, I can't walk. How am I going to go to California? And all these things are going through my head. But the Word says, so I told Pastor Michael, he likes to be updated on things. He's yelled at me enough when I haven't and kept quiet, so I like to update him so I don't get in trouble later when he finds out from other people. And the one thing he said, get in the Word on this as soon as possible. So I listened to my pastor.
Amen.
And as soon as I got home from the urgent care, I opened the iPad up to the Bible and started going to healing scriptures. Well, then I had that incident where I tried to sit back down. I just sat there and cried for an hour. But that whole hour while I was crying, I had all these thoughts about my dad. It really was more two things. I'm not saying this because I'm tough, but it wasn't so much that the pain was making me cry, because the pain was making me want to pass out, but it was the fact that I couldn't do anything on my own and thought about my dad being in that position. It just broke my heart. And so I'm weeping, and I'm saying, all my diseases. He's healed me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. The Bible says that not only has He forgiven my iniquities, but He's healed all of my diseases. By His stripes I am healed. He has borne my sickness, my diseases. And I just kept saying it over and over through the tears. And I kept saying, devil, you're going to get double. Double. I'm going to come back hard on you, double. No matter, this is going to turn out for my betterment. Praise God. Hallelujah. And kept confessing it. Of course, pastor was praying things and just kept confessing it. But what I want to show you is that the way that the devil is going to work on you is he's going to come with you with things that have a shred of truth in them to get you to bite them. What do I mean? Well, maybe he'll come and he might not tell you that your spouse, he might not come to you and say, why don't you go kill your spouse? They're causing too much problems. He might not tell you that because that's something you wouldn't even, I hope, think of doing. Holy cow. Who needs the devil cast out of him right now? Come up here. Thoughts like that. My goodness. But he might tell you, hey, they're not appreciating you as much as so-and-so is. Boy, that girl you work with, she sure seems to think you're a lot, seems to think you're much better than your own wife does. Or that guy that you're working with there, boy, he sure seems to appreciate me more than my... He might give you something like that to take that. Or he might not tell you that, oh, your house is going to go into foreclosure, you're going to lose everything, and you're going to be homeless and living on the street in a cardboard box. He might not tell you that. But he might give you shreds of truth, like, you know, you're not going to be able to pay that bill, or your business isn't going to do as good this coming year, and the other shoe's eventually going to drop. He might give you thoughts like that, that have a shred of truth in them, right, to get you to bite it. I like the example, you know, I could tell Mary Jo, your hair turned bright purple in the service tonight. Well, she's not going to believe that. That's not true. The devil could tell that's not true. But he could give her another thought about her life, something that's pertinent to her life, that has a shred of truth. That's why it's important, if we make this, it solves all problems if this is our guideline. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're seeing, no matter what you're hearing, and no matter what you're thinking, if it doesn't line up with this, no matter how much shred of truth there is, if it doesn't line up with this, you throw it away. Amen. Yes. It doesn't matter the thoughts. It doesn't matter the circumstances. The circumstances can look so much more real than the Word of God. We saw that in the book of Numbers with the children of Israel, didn't we? We saw that where they came into the land. There were giants there. God said they could have it. And there were all those people that were already there. But God said it was theirs. And they believed what they could feel and see and touch. And you might think, well, that would be normal. It might be normal, but it's not faith. And God said that was evil, what they did. Even though they were giants, even though they could feel the pressure, even though they could see the opposition. If they would have just stuck with the Word, which said, this is yours, the giants of the land wouldn't have mattered. The walls that were there, the cities that were fortified, the armies, that wouldn't have mattered. Abraham finally, got the blessing when what? When he started to believe God's word over what he could see. Because he laughed at God. For so long, they laughed at God. Because, what do you mean, 80, 90-year-old person having a child? Just laugh at God. But finally, when the Bible says, when he became persuaded and considered not his own body, which was way more real to the flesh and the mind than the Word was. The Word said, you're having a child, but the real life natural said, no, you're not. Sarah's womb is dead. You're 100 years old. But when he got fully persuaded and convinced that what he had promised, he'd be faithful to that promise, that's when the manifestation came. So I want to show you, because there's been three people on the planet, face of the planet, that have posed the greatest threat to the devil. Number one was Adam, number two was Jesus, and number three is you. Amen. In this history of time, the three things that have caused the devil the most problems and scared him the most have been Adam, Jesus, and now you. Praise God. Genesis 3, it says in verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle. Praise God, glory to God. Praise Jesus. Woo, glory! Glory to God. Praise His holy name. If you're listening by live stream, I just took a run. Praise God. Not sure what it looked like in here, but it felt good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not kidding you. No pain at all. None. Now the serpent was more subtle. That word subtle means crafty. He's crafty. Devil didn't like when I preach on authority. Makes him mad, but that's just going to make me preach it harder.
Amen.
He can kick up a dust storm. A dust storm is just dusty. It'll fade.
Amen.
It'll go away. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, has God said you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Now we know, the previous verses, God did say that. He said, you can have everything, but there's one tree don't eat it from. It's the tree, or don't eat from it. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So that's what God said, and it was true. He said, if you eat that, now he didn't mean death naturally, because they didn't die naturally, but spiritually, that's when spiritual death set in, which led to the natural death. Remember I said the root of all problems? The root of death on earth is not natural. The root of it is spiritual. Because it was never God's intention for anybody to die. Their intention was to live forever. And we see that in the Bible, that these people lived 800-900 years early on, but as death started catching up, it dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. So now we're only promised 120, and hardly anybody makes that. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Wrong food, wrong living, pollution. I mean, there's just so many reasons now why you need to cling to the Word of God more than ever before. Because life has steadily decreased over the years because more death has been setting in, so it's taking a toll on the natural. And the serpent said, so I guess God's going to say, and I guess the devil's going to say. And knowing that he's crafty, he's not going to come in with some crazy, unbelievable, because that's not crafty. Crafty is being deceitful.
Sure.
Well, to get someone to buy a lie, it's got to be kind of believable.
Right. Yeah.
He says, and the serpent said unto the woman, right here, contradicts God's words, you're not going to die. Well, that had to be encouraging to hear that, because it's better than hearing you're going to die. For God does know, in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, go back to verse 5, I'm not done there yet. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened. Now look at this, he's sweetened the deal. And you shall be as gods. I'm going to tell you the one thing that jumps up in my spirit, and I'm just going to say it. I know maybe we're accused of talking about money a lot here, but I don't give a rip. Because when I talk about money, I'm talking about your heart.
Yeah.
And Jesus wants your heart. Because the Bible says where your heart and your money, they're attached, they go together.
Right.
The devil's sweetened the deal, and I know people have been tempted with thoughts of the enemy, especially when this time of year when your giving letters are handed out and maybe you see and over the year you haven't been keeping track, but you see, my goodness, boy, we really were generous this year. And the devil said, boy, what could you have done with that money? Oh, that sunroom you wanted off the back, or that deck, or that swimming pool, or that vehicle, that new wardrobe, boy, that tithe money would have paid for it. And he sweetens the deal, but see, what's the devil's goal? Steal, kill, and destroy. But how does he do it? Through subtle craftiness of deceit. The Bible says, and I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 4, says, in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. Well, how so? Giving heed to seducing spirits. What's a seducing spirit? Come this way. It's better over here. I'm seducing you away from God. Yeah. And so he's sweetened the deal. And people, what could you have done with that tithe money? Oh, you know, Wednesday night, oh, you go to church Sunday, and you know, you don't need to be there, and there's so much better things you could do. Oh, the weather's nice, and you might miss your visitation. It's true. It's absolutely true, or whatever. And he sweetened the deal. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant, well, we know what happened. They disobeyed God, and it changed everything. All because, and isn't it interesting, because of this encounter, the devil became the god of this world. This encounter, there was a great prize on the line, which was authority over planet Earth. The way the devil got it was by lying. Now go to Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is faithful.
Thank you, Father.
Praise God. You almost feel in your, like, here's a great example. I went on a hunt this year, and I had what most people would consider the best day in the whitetail woods you could ever have without killing a deer. To me, it was the most torturous because they got so close, but I had encounters with giants at 7:30, it was 7:30, 1:30, and 4:30. Or 7:30, 11:30, and 4:30. I'm talking about giants that were all within bow range of me. And I just couldn't get a shot. But to even see one deer like that in your lifetime, most people won't see. I saw three of them in one day. And it got to the point when I got back to the house, I just didn't want to keep telling anybody because it sounded so unrealistic and so dumb. It's the same thing when people, I didn't tell very many people, only Reverend Scott because he had to know Pastor Michael, and then we told my family, Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie, they were messaging us last night, and I felt like, well, this will be weird if I don't tell them after having this whole huge conversation. And so we only told a few people, and so this morning they're all asking about it, and I'm almost reluctant to tell them because I'm like, this is the stupidest sounding thing that's ever happened to somebody. Yeah. Going from that to that in one day, things disappearing on x-rays, doctors saying it's unusual. You almost feel stupid telling people testimonies like that. But it happened. Yeah. Every single detail, I told you, it happened just like that. Praise God. My goodness. I'm telling you, it shocked my mind. I'm laying there at 3:30 in the morning feeling things. What is going on? Am I in a new body? And I just ran in church. I couldn't walk yesterday. I couldn't walk. I couldn't get up. If I did, I almost passed out. It hurt so bad. I mean, I didn't even, my temperature never dropped that low with the appendix. The pain was never like that. I can't even describe it. I don't even know how to describe it yesterday. They asked me in the ambulance, what's the pain like? I said, 10. It's worst I've ever felt. Just crazy. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1 says, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. So he messed with Adam. He got Adam to disobey. Adam disobeyed too. The Bible calls Adam the first Adam. He calls Jesus the second Adam. Adam was meant to be ruler of planet Earth. And Jesus now being full of the Holy Ghost, well, here's another threat to the devil. Returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Yes, I'll say it because it will encourage all of you for your faithfulness. There are people that are missing out tonight on things that will get them into victory in their life down the future, but they'll have no idea how to do it because they did not make time for this service tonight. Now, I'm not talking about things, emergencies and things that come. I'm talking about just an unwillingness to sacrifice for the Word of God. People are going to miss out on things. The devil's going to come to them, and you're going to know. Wait a second. It's important to be here. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil or tested of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and after they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, I guess there's God's voice. And I guess there's the devil's voice. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him saying, I love it. See, remember what I told you earlier? If we just make this our standard, and throw out all the circumstances, throw out all the thoughts, all the feelings, and disregard those, and believe this, we'll be fine. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. How did the devil try to get Jesus to obey him? Suggesting something that was so real to him, he would have been so hungry after 40 days. Yep, trying to test him. And the Bible says that Jesus was tested in all ways that we were. He just never went through with it. But that's how he can sympathize with you, because he's been through every test and trial that you've ever faced. Every thought, every temptation has come his way. He just didn't give in to it. That's why we can look to him for help, because he knows how to defeat it.
Amen.
But isn't it interesting? If Jesus dealt with everything, and we know pride is a sin, Jesus would have had be tempted to be prideful. Well, didn't Jesus multiply the fish and the bread? So we know he's got some kind of ability to make food change. Wouldn't it be a prideful thing to want to put the devil in his place and say, oh, you want to see the stones be made into bread? I'll make them into bread. That temptation would have had to have been there. And by doing so, he would have walked into pride, and he would have walked into obeying the devil. But instead, he just obeyed God.
Amen.
And the devil, okay, that didn't work. Oh, I guess he comes back at him. The devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment time. And the devil said unto him, I guess God talks and I guess the devil talks, all this power will I give thee. Well, did the devil have it to give? He sure did. He was the God of this world. Well, he takes you up on a mountain, shows you all the kings of the world. Don't tell me that wouldn't be tempting. To be the ruler of planet Earth, to have all the money, to have all the authority and all the power? Absolutely, that'd be a temptation. He said, all this power I'll give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Well, who delivered it? Adam, on a silver platter. Jesus, God said, you have authority, Adam. Adam said, no, here, you take it, devil. The devil said, he gave it to me. All this I'll give to you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If you will therefore will worship me, I will be yours. See, Jesus could have kept his eyes on those kingdoms and what's real and his thoughts, what his thoughts would have been telling him. Or he can just say, I'm going to stick with the safety net of the Word of God. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and only him shall you serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed. Praise God. So if you stick with it, he'll depart. But notice it says for a season. It's going to come back, but we respond the same way. So we'll close with this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. So, three people that posed the greatest threat to what the devil wanted to do on this earth was Adam, Jesus, and now you. Adam's gone to heaven, Jesus is in heaven, but guess who's still here? You. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, actually go to verse 3, Heather. Because remember we said in Ephesians 6 and verse 12 on Sunday, we said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember we said that, but against principalities, powers. And it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our war is not in the flesh. Our war is in the spirit realm, is what we tried to get across. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, the weapons of our warfare, what does the Bible say? Take with you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, Jesus said in John 6, he said, my words are spirit, they are life. Spirit's not carnal. The weapon that we fight the devil with is always this. Right? Take the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Sword casts things down, cuts things up. So it says here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. So we're talking about thoughts and imaginations. What are we talking about? Suggestions. What did he do to Adam and Eve? Suggested to their mind. What did he do to Jesus? Suggested to his mind. What do you think he's going to try to do to you? If Adam and Jesus, see, because there was a lot at stake with Adam, to get the planet Earth. Well, there was a lot at stake with Jesus, too, because he knew Jesus was about to kick his rear. But if he could get him to obey him, that whole thing's canceled out. So how did he work with Jesus? Suggestions. The same way he's going to work with us. The Spirit speaks expressly that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Thoughts in your head. Thoughts in, oh, man, ever since I started coming to church, all hell's breaking loose. Well, yeah, you want to know why? Because the devil's trying to get you to back off. Ever since I started tithing and giving offerings, it seems like things have been breaking down. Yes! The devil's trying to stir up a problem. I preach on authority and he comes to see, okay, do you really believe it, preacher? Do you really believe that you have authority over sickness and disease? Let's put you to the test. Let's make it so you're so sick you're going into shock and you're in so much pain. Let's see where the rubber meets the road if you're going to believe. And I'll tell you what, I stood my ground and I told him where he's going to go. Yeah. I was crying. It hurt, and I was feeling bad for my dad and things. But I said, I know I have what I say. My response is everything in this. My response is everything. And he says, casting down imaginations. Well, what gives us imaginations? At times, circumstances give you imaginations. The children of Israel, told by God they could have it, have the land, they go in there and look, and they see walls. Well, imaginations start coming. They see cities. Imaginations start coming. They see fortresses. They see armies. The imaginations start coming. We can't have this. We can't have this. Instead of sticking to what the Word of God says. They keep, and they look at that, and their imaginations run wild. Instead of bringing it into captivity to every thought to the obedience of Christ, which is what? The Word. What I said earlier, if you just stay with this, it won't matter what thought comes to you. It won't matter what bill shows up that looks like you can't pay. It won't matter what symptom comes on your body that looks like you can't be healed. If you'll stick with this and cast those down, bring those circumstances. Wait a minute, that circumstance, that thought about me never being able to play with my kids, that's not the Bible.
Right. Amen.
Me having to be in a home for months and not being able to come and preach to my church, that's not the Bible.
Right.
Even though that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Even though that's what it looked like. I mean, I got there to the nurse and I said, am I spending the night here tonight? She said, honey, I don't know when you're going to be going home. That's what she said to me. I went home a few hours later. Maybe not a boo-boo. Stick your head in doo-doo, right? Is that how it goes? I never understood the rest of that. What wash it off with bubble gum and send it to the Navy? I don't know what that even means. Why would you want to do that? I don't even get it. Praise the Lord. Anyways. Sorry. Just had to go there. My head was thinking. I didn't cast down the imaginations. Praise God. So, when the devil comes to you about your kids, I don't care what's happening in your life. When the devil comes to you about your bodies, when the devil comes to you about your finances and situations and bills and your checkbook, cast down those imaginations. Bring those thoughts to Christ. No, the Word is what's going to end up playing out in my life.
Amen.
The Word's going to have the final say.
Hallelujah.
The Word's going to have the final say. The Word's going to have the final say.
Amen?
Amen? And don't let Him have a foothold in your life. And that's the way He's going to attempt to get it. It's through suggestions. He has no other way. No other way. If He could have killed me, He would have. You think He enjoys this tonight? Oh, His tail is tucked. He's in the corner, shivering, peeing down his leg, just a trembling, so upset. That poor little guy. There's one person I don't mind trash talking to. There's one person I don't mind saying I hate. Hate's such a strong one. I don't mind saying I hate the devil. I don't mind saying talking bad about him. Why? Because he's the worst of the worst. He deserves. There's nothing good about him. He deserves no honor. He deserves no niceness at all. He's awful. And he's defeated. And the only thing he can do to us is lie to us. The only thing he can do to us is try to trick us. But if we just make up our minds tonight that this is our truth, this is what we live by, this is what we walk by, this is how we talk, this is how we make our decisions, this is what we think on when we lay there at night, when all our bills are stacked up, we have enough money in the checkbook, but we just think on prosperity because that's what our thought process is. Then we're laying there in pain, and there's doctor's reports and symptoms, and they're so real. We don't lay there and think about that and think of all these imaginations. We lay there and think about Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, that said He took it. Matthew 8:17, it says He took it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. That's how faith people live. And that's what gets us to cross over into that threshold of victory. Where most people can't cross over in the faith realm is because the natural is so real and so pressing and so anti-Word of God, they just choose to walk into the believing, because sometimes it's just easier to accept the reality of the circumstances. Rather than to fight and to press. Paul said, reaching forward, pressing forward. To get into what God has for you is not going to come without opposition. And sometimes it's just easier to just give up. But there's no glory in that. Quitting is not in our DNA. So make this tonight, from this point forward, this is my thoughts, this is my life, this is my belief system. No matter what I see, hear, feel, or think, this is what I go by.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word tonight. Thank You for Your healing power. We're so thankful. So thankful, Father, for all that You've given us. So thankful for all that You've provided for us. You're so faithful to us, Father. So kind and so generous to us. We bless the name of Jesus. We bless the name of Jesus tonight. We honor the name of Jesus. We thank You for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Devil, we're just tired of You having Your way, and we're learning about You. We already learned in 1 week that you are defeated, that we sit far above you, that you're under our feet. How does that smell? How does that feel, devil, to be under our feet? And the only way that you have any place in our life is if we let go, if we take our foot off of you. And we learn tonight how you work. What does that feel to be exposed here tonight? Oh, your tricks and your schemes have no more place in our lives. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. We bless your name. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you for your mercy, for your goodness, for your love. Hallelujah. If you're listening by live stream, I know everybody in this room is born again. But if you're listening by live stream or in the future by an archive, and you want to receive this wonderful Jesus that we've talked about that can bless you, heal you, help you, save you, just simply cry out to him. The Bible says all that you have to do to become one of his is to believe that he died on the cross and that he rose again. And then with that believing, just confess it with your mouth. Just tell him, I believe in you, Lord. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll do that, the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Father, I just thank you so much for all that you're doing. Father, bless every single person in this place today as they go forward from here. And Father, as we get into some prayer tonight, I thank you for utterance. I thank you that we're going to pray out the mind, the will, and the purpose of you, Father God. Thank you. We're going to move things in the Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you can't stay with us and pray tonight, go ahead and you can dismiss yourself quietly in a second. Thank you for coming out. Be a doer of the word. If you need to dismiss yourself to use the restroom or whatever you need to do, feel free to do that. But we're going to just pick right up with praying and sowing in the Spirit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's go ahead and let's just begin. Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. So thankful, so grateful. We worship you, Jesus. We honor you and magnify you. Thank you for all that you've done, for all that you've given, for all that you're doing and all that you will do, Father. We love you tonight. We honor the name of Jesus, the head of the church, the head of the church. We honor you. And Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, that you said in the last days you'd pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. Now, you said that. You wouldn't have said that if it wasn't true. So we ask you, just like Zechariah said, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So rain down, Father. Pour out your Spirit in Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County. Saturate every man. Okay, Lord, I got direction for prayer tonight. That's the way we'll go. We'll do that, sir. Yes, sir. Every man, woman, and child, saturate them with your presence, causing hearts to turn to you and hearts to turn back to you. And Father, you said you'd confirm your word with signs following. That's what you said, Father. So stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for signs, wonders, and miracles. The gifts of the Spirit being poured out and in operation and in manifestation. Thank you, Father. Things like I saw yesterday, from being immobile in an ambulance to preaching the gospel and running the same night. That's what we need to see in our midst, Father God. Infallible proofs that are miracles that cannot deny the existence of you any longer. Thank you, Lord. Confirm your word with signs following. Father, I thank you that we will see it. I thank you for increased manifestations in 2016. And Father, I thank you that all we need, it'll come. Now, the Lord, as I was getting ready to pray, that dropped it in my spirit, that we need to pray tonight for the 2016 election. And, you know, there's a lot of different people running. There's a lot of different ideas. But I don't care what I think or Fox News thinks or CNN thinks or MSNBC thinks or CBS News thinks. I want God's man or woman in office. Regardless of what political experts would say or what we would think, you don't want to vote your way, you want to vote God's way. And this country needs God's man or woman to get into office. And so tonight we're going to pray for that election. We're going to pray that God's perfect will be done. And the Bible says when we pray, Paul said this, he said, first of all, I exhort you, he said this to Timothy, that first of all, you pray for those in authority, those in leadership, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. So whoever's in office directly, you might think, it doesn't really matter. No, the Bible says it affects our lives. decisions that are made, legislation that is passed. You know, you think about some of the things that are allowed in the world that are legal. Lives being lost and just awful things. That's all because people in power. Well, we need to pray the right people in power. So let's go ahead and we're just going to pray in the natural, but then we're going to hook up in the Holy Ghost and pray the perfect will of God out concerning the election. And when God drops something like that in our heart, it's important that we obey that, because there's an utterance that will be there for that. And there's something that God wants us to pray out tonight. And so we're going to do that. So Father, we pray for this upcoming election in 2016 in November. And Father, we pray and lift up that election to you. And Father, we don't want it our way. We don't want what the maybe typical presidential candidate, whatever, Lord. We want it your way. Father, you know who needs to be in office that ultimately would have the greatest effect positively on the kingdom of God. That's who we want. Someone that is going to continue to allow the Christian to practice Christianity. Allow the Christian to preach the Bible in its fullness. Topics that people have shied away from, topics that people have been persecuted from, that is your word, Father. We need people in office that will let us be Christian, that will let us publicly and freely speak the word of God and the truth that is in the word. Father, that they won't shut down services, that they will not restrict us, that they will not take away tax-exempt status from church. We need people. The main thing, Father, is that we need people that are going to further the kingdom. And ultimately, that will be the greatest blessing to leading to the last great revival, the last great harvest on this earth. So, Father, we lift that election up to you. And, Father, we desire and we pray that your person would be elected in 2016, in November coming up. Father, we ask that your will be done in that matter. Father, we want your person in office. We want it your way, Father God, regardless of race, gender, different background. Father, whatever you want, whatever the person that you know will be the most strategic in helping the kingdom of God, that's who we want, in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, help us to pray according to the perfect will of God. Help us to hit the bullseyes for this upcoming election. And yes, Spirit of God, I will mention that we need to be doing this in our private time. We need to be taking out time to pray for the election, to pray for the president. We want a godly man or woman in office, someone that's going to go forward with your statutes, Father, your ways. So Holy Ghost, help us to pray out the perfect will of God right now, in Jesus' name. Morosata, lalemeseto, loposka, tarefisin, dropasete, andramaseto, rosoto, lastabeto, rosoko, barasindo, shokopa, Breme sero shongo romasi kitista rapaste teto sopro mamastra. Hasta tate sete te vese trebepe o plapasi kitis. Sembreme me dembrada sembrasete te o prapasete lo shokoto. O pra mamashe toro skoto namasi rasotoropa. Evro shandile seto costo romapasa. Ropa pasita ramasete tescotro. Romba rasete shegoro mosoto le masier papa sete ramasutu ngur shabrasete sketrepete ramaseto no soto no mama masa bra papa esete te se bento ne mese brepepe mama masete se ple mesoto to sotro masita sate. Wow, Lord, masete masoto shata, not what they think. Not what they think. That's interesting, Father. Not what they think. Braseto sondo sate pese. O ramase rafa sungur mashi ambaso pero made se teskata. Now prashutu ma sarindista ba locota masatrete. Levesho kombara sinkata sefleto masa tarusta. Remero shongo bara saientu skuprus kapete. Mero songo tarin shandambaseto ko into su indrasaientu sonte nemeto. E presato sokondra masieto skopropo.